School Pentecost on you, didn't we? Yes? Got a little backwoods, got old school stuff, oh, the blood of Jesus. Y'all remembered the words, too. I was just so happy that y'all knew the words to it. I didn't think y'all knew the words to oh, the blood of Jesus. What? What's that, Paul? It's been sung for 2,000 years, Paul says. He was here when we started singing. He was here. He was here. So how's everybody doing this morning? I'm super hoarse today because we had a service a couple of weeks ago and I started hollering. And then I hollered a little bit after that. And then I hollered some more. And then I hollered more. And then I went to a friend's house last night, actually his dad's house. And I laughed so hard, I laughed myself hoarse again. So I've been hollering and laughing and hollering and laughing. Yeah, I was at Roddy's place. Yeah, we laughed so much. I just my voice is almost gone. So the good thing for you is I'm probably not going to go long because it's almost done. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I have to preach tomorrow, which is unusual for me to preach on a Monday, so I need to kind of save up a little bit. Amen. But that don't mean that I'm going to hold back for this next 2 or 3 hours that you got me, right? We got at least 2 hours in us. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to talk about vision and not getting off track this morning. And I'm going to bring it to you a little different. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? If you ain't ready, just say, I want to go home. And you can. It's okay. Man, y'all got quiet on that one. That was a joke. That was a joke. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. What's on my shirt? That's Darth Vader, mass murderer. Yeah, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, mass murderer. Y'all know who he is? I mean, it's, you know, what you laughing at, girl? Where did I tell y'all to go? Hebrews chapter 1. No, 11:1. Golly, I knew it didn't feel right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I knew it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Y'all there? Now. Golly, you can live there forever. Just right there trying to figure out now. Now. Don't matter what happened 2 seconds ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. Now is what God is interested in. Now is the time that God lives in. God lives in you now. He don't live in you yesterday. He lives in you now. He's worried about what you're going to do right now because to him it all happens at the same time. He's not linear. He ain't on a timeline like you are. He ain't got nothing to do this afternoon. He's just doing. Y'all with me? God is now. He's right now. Right now. When did now happen? Now. When's it going to happen again? Right now. Every waking moment of your life. Don't ever let the devil make you think that you've done something to where you're away from the presence of God. He's in you now. He is in your now. Wherever your now is, that's where he is. He is looking to live in and be a part of and move in your now. We have to take the time to stop for just a second and just realize that our now is right in front of us. Our now is happening. When? When does now happen? Now. Every day of your life, every moment of your life, God is there in your waiting to move. He's ready. He's ready in you now. It don't matter, Michelle, what it used to look like. It don't matter. It don't matter what you did in Bunky. She ain't never been there. I'm just playing with her. Oh, you been there? You been to Bunky? Oh, that girl got ignorant in Bunky. Oh, gosh, I love giving her a hard time. In the now. It don't matter what Michelle did in Bunky. God's worried about what? Where's God living at? He is always in our... He's always in it. Always. That's why we can walk in such victory. That's why we can walk in such freedom. That's why we can have a smile on our face when all hell is breaking loose around us. That's why we can be happy. That's why we can say that our bodies are healed. That's why we can say that our prosperity is there because we're living in the now. The longest moment in your life is now if you let it be. It can be the longest moment in your life if you just sit in the now and stay in the now and let God do what he does in his now. What does he do in there? Faith. He brings substance in the now to the things that we are hoping for. Our constant, joyous expectations of this life, of him, of his word, of his vision, of what he has given us is happening through faith in our now all the time. It don't stop. Stopping. He's working in you now. He wants to work in you now. He's looking to work in you now. He is striving to get you to a point that you have in this life is found in his now. If you can find that now in your life, your faith will explode into this world. People won't know what to do with you. They'll look at you funny. Because you're living in the now. You're not living in yesterday. You're not even living in tomorrow. You're living in the now. Now, faith is. And it's the substance, the foundation, the actual essence of what we hope for. Every hope can come to pass. When? Now. Heaven exists in now. Heaven don't exist in tomorrow. Heaven doesn't exist in yesterday. Heaven exists now. So what God has for you can be relayed to you in the now. It's always there. Golly. That faith in the now is the substance of the vision of what God's word has brought to you. God's word is truth, and that truth brings to you something that's absolutely 1,000% real in the now. And our faith is what brings substance to it. Does this make sense? It's the evidence of the things we can't see. The now. Every moment of your day tomorrow is going to have now in it. Let that now give evidence and existence to stuff you can't see. Let God show you his now. Amen. Amen. That ain't what I was going to preach on this morning, but that's pretty good. It's the evidence of things that we can't see. Because the stuff that we can't see is eternal. The stuff you do see is temporary. The stuff you look at don't exist in the now. The stuff you look at don't exist in now. Are y'all with me? It's deteriorating. Everything that you could see, touch, and feel is dying now. It's dying. It moved on. It's behind us. It's behind us right now. It's behind us. But it's behind us. What has substance in the now is the things we can't see. That's where heaven exists. I can't get off of it. Sorry, y'all. Everybody looking at me funny. Hope is a constant, joyous expectation of something true. Because we're convinced by the Word of God that it is. God's Word brings to us a vision. That vision becomes a hope. That hope regains substance through faith that's found in the now. Are y'all following this line? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, please, Charles. In our now is where we can let our faith work or not. You get to choose what happens in the now. It's your choice. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Continue looking unto who? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the now. Go back to verse 1. This is the now. We are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. They're people watching to see what you're going to do because you say you're a Christian. I believe that they may even be saints that have gone on that are looking down, over peering over the balcony of heaven, taking a look. But don't everybody agree with me on that one. In that now moment, there's a great crowd of witnesses. And since we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, we got something we have to do. We have to rid ourselves and our now of one thing and one thing only. And it's called unbelief. I talked last week about us having distractions and other visions that come our way. And we allow those alternate visions to pull us off the path that God has for us. Those visions are rooted and grounded in one word, unbelief. And I'm going to show you this morning how you don't necessarily have to have more faith. You just got to have less unbelief. As you walk out what God has for you. As we walk out what God has for us. See, because in our world, right here, I listened to a lot of Kenneth Hagin back in the day. Faith, 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 faith. What I start on? Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to talk about faith more than I'm going to talk about anything else in the world. However, it only takes a grain of mustard seed faith to move a mountain. So why aren't the mountains moving if it only takes a little bit? Because on the other side of the mountain, pushing back is unbelief. And it doesn't take an enormous amount of faith to move that mountain. What you must do is create in yourself less unbelief. I'll get you back. We're a great crowd of witnesses. Let us do what? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Keep your spot here. Let's go to, I think it's Mark chapter 9 there, Charles. Is that the one I sent you? Mark 9. Y'all bear with me. Everybody good? Hold on. I got notes until Jesus comes back. Yeah, 14. Thank you, Paul. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Did y'all keep your spot over in Hebrews chapter 12? I got my Bible stayed open to that. Who brought your Bibles this morning? Anybody? I'm going to start passing out $100 bills. I'm telling you. I can't wait for... Whoo! I just like the paper. I don't know why. Huh? Start passing out Bibles? No, I ain't going to give it to them. I'm going to make them bring their own. Go buy you one. Put your name in the front of it. It's really cool. Here's a story. When he, talking about Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him, the scribes disputing with him immediately. When they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes at the teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Stop right there. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out his disciples to go cast out demons two by two. And he says you could cast them out. The disciples come back. Well, in Luke chapter 7, he sends them out. They come back in chapter 10 and they say, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Why do we say this, Greg? Well, because that portion of the scriptures happened before this spot right here. These guys, these disciples, the folks that had been following Jesus around, had been using Jesus' name to cast out demons before this point. They were used to saying, "Get out of here in Jesus' name," and it did it. You ever told a dog to get out, and it started doing it? Get, and they run off. That's what was happening with the demons and the disciples. They were using Jesus' name and basically in the spirit going, "Get on out of here," and the demons was leaving. But this time they said, "Get on out of here." You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing happened. I said, "Get." Nothing. That's the story up to this point. But they could not cast it out. Go to verse 19. And he answered them, "Look at this. Golly, Jesus. Man. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And whenever they brought him in, verse 20, when they brought the son to Jesus. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed in him and fell down on the ground and wallowed and started foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood." I think it's kind of funny right here. Has anybody ever seen anybody besides Paul Gray? Anybody seen anyone that's got a demon in them and seen them convulse on the ground? it's really weird. It's really a spectacle. And what's happening is the demon's trying to produce a spectacle because it's all about the demon and not about Jesus. Amen? So this little kid walks up and the demon goes to acting all crazy and he's on the ground flopping around and convulsing and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus don't even outlive. How long has he been like this? Like he don't even care. It's like he didn't go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. You know, you can't bring a problem to Jesus to where he's like, wow, how'd you get, whoa, wow. It don't matter how bad the problem looks like. Just take it to Jesus. Whenever it gets to Jesus, he's like, well, how long's it been this way? You know, I mean, it's just, it don't even care. Nonchalant in every way. Just love it. Anyway. How long? And the father said, from childhood, and often he throws him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. So it's a bad deal. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if? What do you mean by if? If you can believe, because all things are possible to him who believes. Now, he's starting to talk about belief right here. Okay? He's talking about belief right here. And immediately the father of the child said, Lord, I believe. Help my faith get bigger to where I have more faith so I can believe more. He said, Lord, I believe, but I need help with my unbelief. Jesus saw that people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit and said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed greatly, came out of him. And the kid looked like he was dead, and everybody said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Whenever he came to the house, disciples came to him privately and said, Lord, why couldn't we do that? What's the deal? Why couldn't we do that? Because we've been doing it up to this point. Couldn't happen. Why couldn't we do that? And he said to them, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And we have for years taught and thought and assumed that this kind that Jesus was talking about was the demon himself. However, if you remember the Father said, Lord, I believe, but help me with my what? My unbelief. If we can, Charles, let's go to, where's it at, Lord? Y'all bear with me. Okay. I'll get there in a little bit. Promise. Promise. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm playing. It said, Charles, I can't find it in my notes, but in the Bible it talks about that there are four kinds of seeds. They fall on wayside. There's some that are on stony ground. There's some on thorny. It's the thorny ground one. Charles, I can't remember where it said. It's like Matthew somewhere. Can you believe that? I can't remember exactly where it is. I'm starting to rely on my notes too much. So are y'all familiar with the story, the parable that Jesus says about the different types of seed? We are familiar with this? Yeah. So one type of seed is what? Wayside. Y'all remember that one? Wayside. The second one is on thorny ground, right? The third one is on stony ground. And the last one is on what's called good ground. Okay? And so if we take a look in the scriptures, once it's in here somewhere. I just can't find it. Somebody help me find it. Is it? Yeah, man, I got all that. Matthew 17? Nope. 13? All right, let's find it here real quick. Golly, you would think somebody might be prepared up in here. And I was preaching so good, too. I got a couple of amens, a couple of omes, got a couple of groans in there. I don't want 13, Matthew 13. It's not saying what I want to say. Go over to Mark. Huh? Luke 8. Mark 4 is probably it. Mark 4. Let's see, Mark 4. Stony ground. Oh, yeah. Mark 4, verse 18. There it is. They're like, man, it's my last Sunday. I wouldn't worry about it. We'll get somebody else to preach next Sunday. Mark chapter 4, let's go to verse, Charles, let's get them to verse 18. I want to show them something. The disciples had been casting out demons up to this point, right? They got here and it didn't work. Jesus started talking to the father of the son, of the kid that was having the problems. He started talking to that father, that kid, and he said, you know, if you could believe. And the guy came back and said, I believe, but you got to help me with some unbelief around here. The demon comes out. The disciples are like, Lord, why is it that we couldn't do that? He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And we have thought that he talked about demons. But he's really talking about the unbelief. He had been talking about belief. He wasn't making big of the demon at all. The demon started convulsing on the ground. And he said, how long has it been like this? Like it wasn't a big deal. Are y'all with me? He didn't make a big deal about the demon. He just simply moved on. Are we there? Now, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. Now, this is talking about the word of God being sown. Y'all get that? Seed sown on ground, and our ground being our heart. And our heart allowing either be stony or good or kind of wayside, just don't care, we'll walk out, forget about it. Or thorny, and this is the thorny ground. They're the ones that hear the word, and what happens? Verse 19. And the what? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things can actually come in, enter in, and choke the word. And the word that you got from God can completely be unfruitful. It's a type of unbelief. There's basically two types of unbelief that we could get into. I don't have time this morning, but if you remember, it said lay aside every weight and the sin. Sin is unbelief. It's really unbelief. It is complete disobedience to what God told you to do. You don't believe God well enough that you won't do what he says, so that's a sin. It's unbelief. It's committed in rebellion. That's a sin. It's unbelief. The other one is more passive. In the way, lay aside every weight. Not the sin. He talks about the sin in the second part. He said, lay aside every weight. What is the weight? This right here. We can allow the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things to actually enter in and create sin and weightiness in our lives. And it's unbelief. How do you say that, Greg? What do you mean? The cares of this world. Just think about that one for a minute. The cares of this world, which is what are y'all going to do tomorrow? Anybody got plans tomorrow? Y'all got plans tomorrow? Got to go to work. Got to get up. Got to do the thing. Got to do this. Got to do that. Hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Do it again the next day. Put this in, pull that out. Put this in, put that out. Turn all about. That's what it's all about. Right? The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, God don't care if you got money. He cares if the money got you. All of a sudden, you quit believing in God. You start believing in the money. God tells you, hey, tell you what. Go sell everything you've got. Give it all away. Any takers? It's easy to say in church, but it's a whole lot different when you're sitting there closing on your house, selling it, and you get the proceeds from the sale, and you don't keep that to buy another house. You just give it away. It's a little different place to be in, amen? That's what I'm talking about, the deceitfulness of riches. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to go and sell their house, and I'm not saying that you have unbelief if you don't. What I'm bringing out is that money can easily move in and become a god in your life, and you don't even realize it. It builds unbelief. Unbelief. And the desire of other things entering in and choking the word. And this one we got to really be careful of. The desire of other things. The devil will always bring up to you something that's shinier and prettier. In fact, David talked about it. He talked about it back in Psalm 23. He leads me to green pastures. We're always looking for the green pasture on the other side. The grass is just a little bit greener over there. And if you're not careful, you're looking for the green grass and you're not looking for the will of God in your life. And you find yourself in places you ain't supposed to be in, doing things you ain't supposed to be doing, and then we want to know why the now ain't working. I used his name. I prayed for hours about this. I have begged God and begged God to do something about this. And he just won't move. What you going to do tomorrow? Well, I got this to do and I got that. Netflix has got a new series. American Primeval or Primeval America. Yeah, see, we need to watch that. Are y'all getting me on this? Are y'all following me here? We can allow unbelief to creep in and become a weight that carries, that we have to carry in life. We're not able to run our race. It gets us off course. It pulls itself into the now, and next thing you know, we're giving substance to that instead of the things that we hope for. We give evidence of it instead of things that we can't see. Because we're allowing unbelief to work us over all day long. It will come in and it will choke the word and make it unfruitful. Go back to our disciples and I'll leave y'all alone. Go to that last verse, which is going to be verse 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. See, the disciples, they had all these people watching them. Have any of y'all ever said, I'll pray for you in front of somebody else? You got a bunch of people there. It's like they say, well, I need somebody to pray for me. I'm like, I'll pray for you right now. Have you ever done that one? Everybody watching you? Man, I sure hope it works. Oh, I sure hope this works. You see what I'm talking about? That's that unbelief creeping in. The name of Jesus is more than enough to take care of any problem that you may face in your life. You don't have to muster up a whole lot of faith. I don't really have a whole lot of faith. I just use what I got. Did y'all hear that? I ain't got no whole lot of faith, but I use what I got. I'll use it. You want to know why? Because it just takes a mustard seed just a little bit to tell this sycamine tree to be plucked out and be thrown in the sea. I could tell a mountain to get into the sea with just a little bit. And I got a little bit. I ain't got much, but what I got I'm going to use. All it takes is the name of Jesus to take care of the problem. But we sit here and we let this thing right here that's between our ears, that's in our head, that we go through all the time, that we just always... Even when you sleep, it's working. Doing this thing, we let this thing that's in our head convince us, whoa, 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 whoa. And it comes from the thorns of life, the deceitfulness of riches, cares of this world. What did Jesus say? What does he say? This kind of what? This kind of unbelief. This unbelief, guys, that y'all are dealing with, that you ain't even got figured out, that the guy that had the son knew that he needed help in unbelief. You need help in unbelief. This kind of unbelief only comes out how? Prayer and fasting. I triple dog dare you not to touch Netflix for 2 weeks. Two! Don't touch it. Instead of watching Netflix, read your Bible. Pray. Do that triple dog dare you. It works. I promise. Been there. Done that. Do it now. Just shut it off. I ain't even watch nothing. I'm going to drive around in my car and listen to podcasts because I don't want to be disturbed at all. I'm going to listen to preaching. Driving around, listen to preaching. Preaching tapes. Some of y'all were around in the Living Word days whenever I was back at Living Word, and I'd listen to Pastor David all the time. Y'all remember cassettes, cassette tapes? I had a cassette tape player in my pickup truck. Do y'all remember a time when you saw Greg Lee in a pickup truck? That's way back. Had a pickup truck, single cab. Drove that thing like nobody's business. Cassette, pop in Pastor David, listen to him on the way to wherever. Listen to him on the way back from wherever I was at, driving around, listening to preach, 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 preach. Fasting, everything else. I didn't listen to There is a slight, like I know a lot of songs and I can sing a lot of songs. There's a lot that I'm familiar with, but there's this little gap in my history of song knowing. And that gap, you know what that gap is? It was nothing but word. Like I can't tell you very many songs from like the late 90s. Like I get lost right around 1995. I get lost and I stay kind of lost on up to about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that if you will take the time to cut out something out of your life, remove a thorn. A triple dog dare to you, remove a thorn and let the seed of God's word produce its fruit in your life. You will see the significance of it like that. And next thing you know, the name of Jesus actually works. Next thing you know, prayer actually works. Laying hands on the sick actually works. Casting out demons actually happens. Why? Because your now becomes just like heaven. It becomes all of that wrapped up into one moment where you knew, use the name of Jesus and all the power of heaven is behind it. And there's no unbelief making you think it happened. You believe anything else in the world that it will happen. And it does. Because it already has. We're just seeing the manifestation of it here. Let's go. It's time to go home. Amen. Let's go. I done hollered a little bit. I wasn't supposed to holler at all. What are we going to do? We're going to cut something off. Even if it's food. You know, y'all can stand up. You don't have to fast food all the time. But I'll tell you right now, Chris Lewis taught me a little while back, probably about 2 years ago, last year. Chris Lewis taught me, you cut that food out. All of a sudden, God gets real big in your life because you hungry. You hungry. I promise you get hungry real quick. Don't let unbelief stop you from having your now. Don't let it do it. Don't let the cares of this world get in. Don't let deceitful riches get in there. Don't let anything get in there to stop your now from happening. Your faith is far more than is necessary to see God's will come to pass in your life. We just need to do something with our unbelief. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, that your word is true, and we know that since it's true, if we do it, we'll be blessed in it because it is. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody agree with that said? Amen. Y'all go home. Amen.